and welcome to Futures Focus, a fantasy baseball podcast centering around all the top prospects in the game, brought to you by Prospects 1500. My name is Alex Sanchez. Joining me tonight on Mother's Day, we are recording a few days late on Mother's Day, is the great Nate Eckert. Nate, thanks for joining me today. How was your Mother's Day? Shout out to mom for me right now.
Yeah, shout out to mom, Deb. Out there, she listens. She's an avid listener. She's in Seattle right now, so that's okay. But we're planning on meeting up in July when I go up and my fiance, and we're gonna go up for the draft and for the Futures game in Seattle this year. So while I'm up there, I'm gonna visit mom's, and we got her a nice necklace with a dragonfly pendant. Very pretty. She loves to garden and she loves dragonflies, so that was perfect. And we also got her like a little gardening bench that she can tote around with her out there while she's, quote unquote, this is my mom's phrase, tooling around in the garden. And she loved it, so that was rad. And then we went to my fiance's mom's house for her Mother's Day. So it's been a lovely little Mother's Day Sunday that we're going to conclude with this Mother's Day episode of Futures Focus.
Yeah, that's awesome. Fantastic stuff. Yeah, my mom does not listen to the podcast. In fact, I was an only child and forced baseball upon my parents who had no interest in sports whatsoever. And for 15, 20 years, I thought that they actually liked baseball and that they just, you know, but when I got a little bit older and we had a couple of drinks in us, my mom let me know that she absolutely hates baseball. And was only going along for it for my own good. So that's the life of an only child.
So
happy Mother's Day to my mom. Happy Mother's Day to my wife, who is a mother of two. And we will, we actually celebrate tomorrow since she has to do Mother's Day for her job. But anyway, happy Mother's Day to everybody. We have a cool episode here today. I haven't seen too many people try what we're about to try today, so we'll see if it works out. But the plan that we have for you today is to figure out who's going to get the call up next. So Nate and I are going to do a little mock draft, and we get to pick the prospects for the rest of the season, right? So who's going to come up the fastest? We're going to do it as a war. So the more playing time, the better. Even if you come up late and have a great couple of weeks, won't beat the guy who's been up since June. So we're trying to figure out who's getting the call up next. This is sort of in honor of the news that we got today of Matt McClain and Yuri Perez and, you know, guys that maybe a few weeks ago you didn't think they were going to be called up, but alas, here we are. And I know a lot of you want to get ahead of those instead of having to bid extraordinary amounts on Fab. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine the leagues, you know, redraft leagues where Yuri Perez, because nobody was getting Yuri in redraft leagues, maybe a few people here and there, but like most redraft leagues, he was not on the radar for this year. And after his first start, especially in like weekly Fab leagues, man, I'm thinking 70-80% of budgets are going to be spent on that guy. So we'll get to Yuri in a second, but that's the goal. So we're going to do a little draft of the guys that we like the best and who we think are coming up the quickest moving forward. So we'll see how that works. But before we do that, of course, we have our news and notes. So let's start with the great Yuri Perez. What a start for him in his debut. You know, he didn't go the longest, but he did have 7 strikeouts over 4 2/3 innings against Cincinnati. He gave up 2 runs. He looked good, in my humble opinion. The fastball looks heavy. The pitches that he has as secondary offerings were crisp. He needs to bulk up, though. Like, he looked, I don't know, in the minor leagues and you look skinny, you kind of fit in. But in the majors, when he looks skinny, it stands out in a bad way, because he has a lot of room to grow, which is kind of scary, but quite the debut. Yeah. And I'd imagine that he's going to probably be up for the rest of the year. I don't see why they would call him up to bring him down. And of course, the cool, I don't know if you saw this or not, Nate, but the Sandy Alcantara and for like letting him know that he got called up and then picking him up from the airport. It's pretty cool too. So let me get your thoughts on Eury Pérez in that situation. One of the coolest call-ups I think of the year, or at least in recent memory too.
Yeah, for sure. Eury, I mean, I don't know about you, Alex, but I was totally blindsided by it. I missed out in my redraft. My best friend Andre wrote me and he was like, I can't believe that I was able to pick him up before you. And I said, oh no, did he get the call? And sure enough, he did. So with bitter eyes, I watched to start. but when you get to see a generational type talent with his size and his stuff and with the system that he came up with, it's exciting. A lot of comps and a lot of familiarities with Jose Fernandez. I feel like that's just kind of like natural to think about it in that sort of frame. But I think he's a perfect example of what Miami's been able to do over the past few years with Alcantara. And I know that Edward Cabrera can't find a strike zone right now, but when he does find a strike zone, he's got that 93-mile-an-hour changeup that just runs like 10 feet. Those power changeups that they're teaching those kids, man, oh man, that system is nuts. And Eury is just the latest of many that come through there, and they've got quite the little factory going, don't they? But Yuri's special in that he didn't look over terrified, or he didn't look like he was out of his depth. He you're right. The fastball looked real heavy, 99 anytime he wanted, 97 all day. The secondaries, plenty of break. He was able to hit his spots, and he will get bigger. And you're right, it is scary to think about. Like, he comes out there, he's got more beef on him than say like Tristan McKenzie did last year. But at the same time, you know, give it like another year or two when you get into that, like that man strength, like Sandy Alcantara, when Sandy put on those extra 25 pounds, he turned into the Cy Young, right? So I think it's the same trajectory for Eury, if not better, because I mean, this kid he's got it all. 6'8", standing up there, watching that ball come from the heavens. I mean, it's just crazy. So good for them.
Yeah. So if you didn't get a chance to see Perez or know the scouting report, you know, you said it with this 98 fastball. The thing that separates Perez from other prospects is command of four legitimate pitches. All four of his pitches are above average, if not plus, with that changeup being fantastic. And what he does is he goes fast with 98. And since he has the power change, like you're talking about, that's sitting 90, 91. And then he has a slider, which is more in the 85 to 87 range. And then he has a curveball that's in the 79 to 80 range. And all four of those pitches can be thrown for strikes at any point in an at bat. Great command, great control. And at 20 years old, like, honestly, we were probably too low on him now that I'm starting to say all this out loud, especially since some of the other prospects have dealt with injuries. Sure, injuries could strike with him at any moment. But man, it's hard to see him have any failures moving forward. Sure, a blow up start here and there, just getting to know how to pitch, but he's going to be so good. It's so fun to see him.
So good. So good.
Couple other things to quickly mention. I know we spent some time there on Perez, but Mason Miller, the guy who probably has on the short list of people that have better stuff than Eury Pérez, Miller, but he had to fly back to Oakland to get an opinion on his elbow, which luckily the MRI came back clean, but he's going for a second opinion now, which I'm hoping is just like to be super sure that nothing's wrong. We're probably not going to see him for, my guess is probably at least a month, if not more, even though nothing's technically wrong. But why would the A's bring him back at any point?
They wouldn't. They wouldn't.
So it was fun while it lasted, and this is why Mason Miller was able to be picked up in leagues, because injuries have plagued him for a long time. With that being said, I think that this is a lot of being overly cautious with what they're doing here, and that you could maybe buy low on Mason Miller. It might be the only time if you feel, but it is a good reminder that he comes with a lot of injury risk. But the stuff is so
he really does.
Let's go to Royce Lewis, who we're going to kind of talk about here as well. He's finally back to some rehab games at Double A Wichita. Exciting to see him back. I don't know. Again, the Twins like have a bunch of players that are all sort of equal, and they've dealt with some injuries now, and it seems like the people that get called up are just as good. Miranda was demoted, and then Larnick was demoted, but then Kirilloff was activated, then Larnick came back, and then Kepler's. So it's like they're all the same, honestly.
Yeah.
But I do think Royce Lewis, once he's ready, will have a spot somewhere in a lineup. Maybe it is that third base. Maybe that's what Miranda's vacancy. What do you think with Royce Lewis? Like, let's say in 2 weeks he's ready to go. Do you think he's coming up right away, or is it going to take an injury or something like that to see him?
Given what he's done as he's healthy, right? When Royce Lewis is healthy, he's arguably one of the most exciting baseball players in baseball, period. So I don't see them hesitating. He's old enough also, and he's proven himself at triple, God knows, he's proven himself at every level, probably more so than a lot of baseball players, you know, currently. When he's ready, when he's healthy, I don't think it's going to take any more than, you know, somebody having a cold, or if that. So I think Lewis is coming back very quickly. I think that he's going to come back on the Twins, and I hope that this kid could stay healthy, because he is really fun to watch. He's super exciting. He's like the older, more major league ready version of like a Mason Wynn. Like, I know he doesn't throw the ball as hard, but he's kind of got like that whole like power speed combination thing going, where he just really can change a game once he gets on the base pass and in the field as well. I mean, that Futures game that he played in last, I can't remember what year it was, but man, it was a fun watch, because he was all over the place. But it's just been really hard, because the guy has barely ever had like a full season of play. So I'm hoping, I'm crossing my fingers. I personally haven't invested anything in Royce Lewis, only because of the injuries. However, I want to see the kid stay healthy, because I'm a baseball fan, you know, and I think Royce Lewis is really good for the game. That said, I think that he could help a lot of people, so long as he stays healthy, and especially in redraft leagues and obviously in dynasty leagues.
Yeah, the Twins are quite interesting. I think that there is some room one way or the other to get in the to consistent at bats. So another infielder, we almost did a post-hype prospect episode today before we kind of switched directions. And I think we'll do that in the future at some point. This guy definitely probably would top our list, or be at the top, near the top of a post-hype. And that's Matt McClain. He was a former first rounder in 2021, 17th overall at UCLA. And, you know, that's a pretty high draft pick, had a decent 2021 debut. And then just in 2022 got promoted to Double A as a 22-year-old, which is pretty, you know, Zach Neto type of quickness. But didn't go quite the same way. If you're looking at the average, if you're looking at everything else, like, this is a guy that, again, where the average just tanks his value. So last year hit 229, and that's kind of like most people are just tuning out at that point. But take a look at some of these other things. 361 on base percentage, 17 home runs, 27 stolen bases at Double A in essentially his first full year of pro ball. Like, that's pretty good when we're being, you know, brass tacks straight up. That's not bad at all. Just the 229 really soured him up. He fixed things up in AAA for this year, as he is hitting 346 with a 464 on base percentage, 12 home runs, 10 stolen bases, 40 RBIs already in 37 games. And to reward him, the Cincinnati Reds are calling him up to the big league. So congratulations to Matt McClain. You know, he always had the hit tool. That was sort of the calling card for him. You were going to get a college advanced bat ready to go and, you know, decent enough in the field that he could maybe stick it short. Probably not long term, but very exciting to see the power. Like, that's the thing that was always sort of, oh, maybe a 15, 20, but 12 home runs in AAA in 168 plate appearances. That's, and getting to play in Cincinnati. Like, we're going to do a draft. I don't think we're going to include Matt McClain, but he might be the number one pick if we were picking prospects only moving forward. What do you think?
Yeah, totally. I agree 1,000%. I was the guy that was high on McClain. Like, for example, I took him in our prospects only, the prospects 1500, beat the staff league. And I was very happily surprised today when I found out he was getting the call, because I plugged him right into that second base slot. And, I'm crossing my fingers that none of these idiots that are in my redraft league figure out that he's getting called up tomorrow. So I'm hoping, praying that midnight comes around and nobody has scooped him up. I could say that because this won't air for another couple of days. So let's hope and pray that it goes unseen just until midnight tonight after I make the move. Because I absolutely am planning on picking him up in my redraft league. I have a feeling he's going to see time pretty much everywhere in the infield, I would expect. If not all of it at short, because of the Jose Barrero experiment kind of ending up in flames. But McClain, exactly what you said, Alex. He was a hit tool guy out of college, advanced hit tool. Then the hit tool just somehow vanished last year, but all the peripherals were still around. And with the 464 on base percentage and the 713 slugging, I mean, these are the types of starts to seasons where you wonder, is it real or is it fake? But when you go with a guy who's got a pedigree like Matt McClain, I can't help but just know that it's legit, you know, especially after being really aggressively promoted in his first full year of baseball. I think the Reds did him a bit of a disservice, but overall in the end, it may have been the best thing for him because he's making AAA look like it's high advanced. 22 walks, 33 strikeouts thus far with those 40 RBIs we just got done talking about, 97 total bases. I mean, are you kidding me? It's exciting because that power is absolutely there. And it looks like the Reds hit one out of the park, pun intended.
Yeah, the Reds are going to have some call-ups here in the next month or so. I'm guessing we'll get to that here shortly. The last guy to talk about for this week's news is the San Francisco infielder Casey Schmidt, who got off to quite the start to his big league career. Currently hitting over 500. I mean, he did go over today, so I got to kind of adjust the stats right now. But the first five games, almost hit for the cycle, hit a home run in the debut. And the thing is, he's brought up just for his defense. He's one of the best defenders in all of the minor leagues, and his hitting has been okay. It's certainly been enough to get him called up for sure. Only one home run this year in AAA. Already has two now in the big league, so go figure.
Of course.
But last year is what you want to look at, with 18 home runs. So he has a bit of power. The hit tool is probably the more suspect, and honestly, I like the story, but if you could sell Casey Schmidt to anybody right now in a dynasty league, I probably would, because he was brought up to just play shortstop, and then Crawford was back tonight. I think he'll stay. There's no doubt that he's going to at least get a chance while he's hot. But I do worry that the hit tool kind of rears its head once the book's out on him. But fun story for Casey Schmidt, 24 years old already. But man, you can't get a better start to a career than what he did.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
All right. So I think that'll do it for the news and notes. Let's go ahead and move on to a little bit more details of what we're trying to do here. So as I mentioned earlier, we're looking at a list. We have a list here of about 30 minor leaguers that are in the minor leagues right now as we speak. And we're going to draft a team where we have to have at least one pitcher. The rest can be hitters. And we're going to see who has the most WAR by the end of the year. So we're going to keep track of this. Kind of a, you know, we like competition here, so we'll keep track of it. So again, the rules are they could have been called up already, as long as they've been sent back down and they're in the minors now. We're trying to figure out who's going to get called up and who's going to perform well, and the best mixture of both of those things, I suppose. So in order to do this, Nate, I think we should probably mention some of these guys really, really quickly. We won't give a lot of details until we actually make a selection, but you know, there isn't really a good database that I was able to find. Like we kind of had to do this on our own of guys that we think might be called up next. And again, it's anybody's guess, but we basically picked guys in AAA that are performing relatively well as of late, and or names that have openings that are obvious, or guys that even like we won't include Joe Adell. I was gonna have Joe Adell, but we'll take him off. But guys that, you know, we've seen already for a little bit and then got sent back down, so they could go all over the place. So here's the list we have so far. We have Colton Cowser, who is on fire right now for the Baltimore Orioles, an outfielder. Mark Vientos is, I mean, all these guys are on fire. I don't need to keep repeating that. But Mark Vientos for the Mets, Michael Busch, who was recently called up, got sent down for the Dodgers. Justin Henry Molloy for the Tigers, Ronnie Mauricio for the Mets, Jordan Westberg for the Orioles, Edouard Julian for the Twins, who again was up during the year but was called or demoted, Kyle Manzardo, Justin Foscue, Andres Chaparro, Michael Toglia, post-hype guy there, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Tyler Soderstrom. We'll go over these positions and teams as well, but Matthew Liberatore, Quinn Priester, Ellie De La Cruz, Royce Lewis, George Valera, just recently off of the IL, Kyle Harrison, DL Hall, Gavin Williams, Edney Rodriguez, Brian Rocchio, and a couple of names here that we included. Maybe they don't even get drafted tonight, but they're really, really close. Dominic Calzone for the Diamondbacks, David Hamilton, Nolan Jones, and Oslavis Basabe, one of my favorite guys. So, yeah, those are the kind of the player pool. Now, a few names that are not on here. Jordan Walker, we're not going to include. I guess we could include him. What do you think, Nate? Should we include Jordan?
Nah, we've talked way too much.
I don't even know if he would be the number one pick, to be honest, because I don't know when he's getting called back up. There's just no room.
He's in the doghouse.
And he's not. Yeah, he went back to AAA like he was going to hit himself back up to the majors in one day and paying the price right now. Although he's not, the strikeout rate's not too bad. Anyway, and then a couple other guys, you know, like Jackson Holliday are huge names, Evan Carter, but we don't think that those guys are getting called up anytime soon. Maybe some of these guys would get a cup of coffee, but that's not going to help us in our draft. So, Nate, I think you got the last first pick when we did something like this. So I get to go first, but I'm going to give you, we'll do a snake draft style. That way we can talk about two guys at once. So if I'm on the clock here and I'm looking and we're looking at WAR, so I guess defense would matter a little bit, but we're really looking for counting stats. That means that guys that are coming up quickly and are going to have an extended amount of run. So this is tough. Like, there's no obvious choice. Do you have an obvious choice in mind? Like, if I were to trade my pick to you?
Yeah, I have one.
You have one. I think I know who it is.
Probably.
Yeah. So, you know who I forgot to mention? Connor Norby. We need to add him Because I think he's going to be up soon. Yeah. But it's not going to be my guy. I'm going to pick Colton Cowser first.
Nice.
Oh, that wasn't your guy, it doesn't sound like, right?
No, but that's still a hell of a pick.
Okay, yeah. I like Colton Cowser because it does seem like the Orioles are going to make a run this year. Like, they are a fantastic team. And that's – no, their outfield's crowded right now. As Santander kind of came back to earth as a, you know, a guy that remembered how to hit. And but, you know, I don't want to pick any of the infielders for the Orioles because they're so crowded. Mm-hmm. And I think that Cowser, the things he's doing right now, it's just unbelievable, especially like lately, where he's going to, I think he's going to lead the way for these prospects. He's hitting .333, 7 home runs, 5 stolen bases, 19% walk rate, 23-year-old. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's called up next week. And when he already performed well in spring training. Like, I'm really excited about this guy. So yeah, that's my pick. All right, Nate, you got two. I'm interested who I didn't get.
Actually, I see. Okay, so first and foremost, I have to go with Ellie De La Cruz.
Okay.
AAA, and this is why. 5 homers, .359, 795 slugging, 500 on base percentage. He's had 50 plate appearances. He already has 5 bombs. But this is just in the last 10 days that I'm reading these stats. So just in the last 10 days, the kid has 10 walks, 7 strikeouts, 2 steals. He's been caught 4 times, but who cares? .359 average, 14% strikeout rate, 20% walk rate. I just have a feeling that the Reds are just going to have their hand forced, and Ellie's just going to make it so that they don't have a choice. You know, some of these kids are just going to go so berserk. And I feel like Ellie is on that stratosphere, and I don't see anything stopping him anytime soon. So I get one more pick. Let's see here. Is there anything stopping me from taking a pitcher?
No, go for it.
All right.
I was thinking about that.
I just thought of a pitcher that we hadn't previously discussed, but he falls right into what we've been talking about as far as what we want out of these draft picks. And I'm going to take somebody I have already taken myself this year, and I'm still incredibly angry about what they're doing to him. I'm going with Taj Bradley. Starting pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, they sent him down to, I don't really know, do what. I mean, the kid was only perfect in his 3 starts, 3 wins. I mean, I looked on my Yahoo rankings the other day. He was still ranked 156th. This was like 2 months after, or like a month after he got called back down after his first three starts. So, I don't know what they're looking for in Taj. I mean, maybe it's just because they're doing so well at the major league level, but what's he going to do? I mean, it's not like he's going to sink the ship. So anyway, I have a feeling he'll get called back up soon. I know he's struggling mightily in AAA, but I don't care because they never should have brought him down to begin with. So I think I'm good with my first two, Ellie De La Cruz and Taj Bradley.
Yeah. So with Ellie and Taj, I mean, excellent picks. No doubt. I love Ellie so much, so much. I don't know when he's getting called up. I think it might be another month or two. That was why I didn't pick him. But with Taj, sure. I am a little concerned with what he's doing now in the minors. So I don't know if you've seen the stats for him after his demotion, but he's up to an 11 ERA, 13 strikeouts in 16 innings. Quite concerning. You and with the Rays, like, this isn't how it works by any stretch, but like, everybody in the Rays who pitches is getting hurt, and so I'm just a little concerned with Taj that he might be hurt. But
you think he's hurt?
I think he might be pitching through something where, like, he's not going to say anything, because he doesn't want to lose his spot. But it's just weird to go back down and like start walking guys and give up a bunch of hits when you went to the big leagues and you were really good. But
this is my take on that. I think he's just as confused, if not more confused, as to why he was sent back down. And I don't think that they had a legitimate reason to send him back down. And just me, myself, like, I remember playing baseball and I hated having any type of like, if I knew I was doing well and somebody said I had done something wrong, like that, I don't know. It just screwed with my head. Maybe, I mean, that's the best thing they say in baseball is that you have to have the shortest memory and not, you really can't care about anything because there's so much failure in baseball. But I mean, really, it, just in the human side of it, like, do you think that he saw that demotion coming at all? After what he did at the major league level, I mean, come on. I mean, Tampa's good and they have great pitching, but right now they're splitting starts between Yoni Chirinos and some other guy I've never even heard of. But like, when you can have a starter that comes in and gets you five or six, why do you need to split starts with guys that have been, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's one of those two. It's one of those two explanations for sure. And with Rasmussen going on the IL, Glasnow had a setback. You wonder, what's happening here with the Rays? But they keep winning, so nobody bats an eye. All right, let's get back to our draft here. So I'm looking at another Reds guy. So we took Matt McClain off because he got called up. I don't think that wasn't fair. So, but I am going to take Christian Encarnacion Strand, who I could have sworn was going to get called up with McClain. I thought for sure they were going to just call up both of them and just sell out like five home games in a row. But alas, now it's just him in AAA with Ellie. And this guy gets an extra base hit every night, if not multiple. If you check out box scores, first base is ready to go for him. I think in a couple of weeks he'll be ready to go. My next guy is again kind of a necessity. Like, I think these are the guys that are getting called up the quickest if we have to take a look at this list, and that's Justin Henry Molloy for the Detroit Tigers. Third base is a mess right now for the Tigers. Nobody's hitting besides Riley Green, and that's it. I mean, I don't follow the Tigers.
You're right. It's Riley Green and or bust.
Yeah. And so I feel like they want him to play third base. He kind of went through a stretch there where he was struggling a little bit for the, like, if you look at the last, don't look it up. I'll tell you. Don't look it up. So if you go to the last 14 days, last 21 days, 250, with three home runs, but the last 7 days he kind of has put it back on track with a three hit game on Saturday and a couple home runs in this weekend as well. So I think he's, made an adjustment. 321, 444 on base percentage, strikeouts a bit high, but who cares if you're the Tigers? Like, send him up and just let him play. Like, as soon as he gets called up, I think he gets the rest of the season for the Tigers. So maybe not the best prospect on this list, but a guy that I think is going to get called up real, real soon.
Nice. Okay. So we said two pitchers in total, correct?
Yeah, let's do two. And then I don't know if we mentioned we're doing a team of nine. So I don't know if we mentioned
that. Okay. Well, I have to go with my second pitcher only because I thought you would take him and you didn't. So now I have to. So Gavin Williams, because he has to get called up eventually. He's been so utterly dominant in AAA. There's going to be a point where they just remember that there's nothing more to prove for him down there. And, who knows when Tristan McKenzie's ever going to come back. It looks like Logan Allen is starting to fall off a bit. Battenfield's doing a little bit better, but other than Bibee and their core, the starters that were there before all the prospects came, there's a lot of question marks. So I think Gavin Williams is going to get the call, and I don't think he's going to do anything other than what he's been doing his entire career thus far. So I'm done with pitchers. And then my next position player is going to be
right back after this. We're going to take a break. Look at that. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. And then you can continue with that pick because I think you need to think about it. Sounds like you need to think
about it. I do.
All right. We'll be right back after this. And we're back. Future Focus here with you. My name, Alex Sanchez. Nate Ecker joining me and is on the clock, ready to make his second selection of the third round. Sounds good. Something like that. Your fourth player overall for the 2023 rookie. I don't even know what to call this, but you're on the clock.
The war challenge. Futures Focus war challenge. Okay, I'm going to go with Jordan Westberg. I know that the Orioles infield is going to get crowded quickly, but Westberg is such a good hitter, in my opinion, that they're going to find a spot for him pretty much anywhere. I don't think that he's going to have a hard time finding a spot anywhere. Also, because the Orioles, I mean, let's face it, there are still some positions that have yet to be filled. He's one of those players who's just due for a promotion because he's proven everything that there is to prove at the minor league level. Just in the last 10 days, he's hit 5 bombs, 293 with a 732 slugging, 1,115 OPS. I mean, the kid is a beast. And he's 24, so I mean, he's ready. He's ready to get the call. And I think out of the remaining players, he's one of the more ready for the bigs also. So I don't see a huge drop off in production eventually when he does get called. So yeah, Westberg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, off to 10 home runs, AAA right now. Certainly very good. And the Joey Ortiz thing, as much as I liked Ortiz, I don't know. He seems like he, you'd hope he'd hit the ground running. Got a second call up now, which was interesting. So we'll see what happens. All right. I'm on the clock for two. And one is obvious for me. Actually, they're both pretty obvious. And since you didn't go with him, I'm going to go with Royce Lewis for one. I just think that out of all the prospects, he's not waiting for the call, but he's on a rehab. When he's healthy and ready to go, he's getting the call up, and we've seen him do fantastic things when healthy. And then I'm going to pick a guy because I'm pretty sure you're going to pick him next, but that's Ronnie Mauricio.
Yep.
And the Mets are a mess right now. Like, they can't score any runs, and there may not be an obvious spot for him. Third base is seemingly taken, shortstop's taken. You can maybe bump McNeil to the outfield. There's not a lot of room for him, but the things that he's doing right now definitely warrant a call up. He's making all the improvements that you asked of him. So if you look at his strikeout rate, 20, 21, 33%, you need to fix that. Okay. How about 23% in 2022? Still a little too high, Ronnie. We don't like you. All right. How about 16% this year? All right, that's pretty good. Like, if he's at 16%, and even if you bump that up to 20 to 23% in the big leagues, that means that he's hitting the ball those other times, and it's going to be fantastic. And home runs, stolen bases, good defense, I think, helps in this. He's going to play somewhere. Switch hitter, no platoon risk. So fantasy wise, I'm ready.
Beautiful. Okay, then. That leaves me with a couple others that now I'm going to have to change my strategy a bit. I was trying to go with the ones who were going to get the call up first that had the biggest and best ceiling. Now I'm just going to go with who I think is not only the best available prospects left, but also who eventually when they do get the call up, who could really fly once they get there. So I'm not entirely sure when these call ups are going to happen. But I do know that these guys have really done all that they need to do at the minor league level. And first I'm going to go with Kyle Manzardo. You guys have heard us talk about him, in excess. I love this kid, power hitter, but hit tool is right there with the best of them. He's only 22. He's crushing AAA, just like he's crushed every other level. And he's a Washington State Cougar. Go Cougs. And then on the other side, I'm going to take another AL East, and that's Andres Chapado, the 24-year-old monster who plays for the Yanks at third base, first base, corner infielder. With Judge going down, the Yankees have struggled. And this kid right now in AAA is hitting .419 over his last 10 days. He's got a .742 slugging. That's a .538 on base percentage, .1280 OPS. Two bombs, 23 total bases, four doubles, 12 ribs. And that is something that the Yankees need desperately. So I think Chaparro gets the call. Probably sooner than Manzardo, but this kid, he started out the year very slowly, and Alex was giving me hell for it before, but I stuck with him, and for that, Alex applauded me, and I'm going to stick with him even further. So Chaparro and Kyle Manzardo.
Yeah, interesting. Chaparro definitely has been on a tear lately. I'll be very curious when they call him up. It could be 2 weeks, and it could be not at all. I feel like
right.
with him.
Right.
So, all right. So that takes definitely Manzardo was somebody I was looking at. Now it gets a little tricky. I'm thinking the guys that are left are highly rated, but haven't performed to the standards you'd expect a call up to be. Or guys that are performing in an insane rate at AAA, but are blocked in almost every conceivable path. So I got to find a mixture of those two here. And I'm not going to take two pitchers because I'll just wait till the end. So I'm going to take two guys that I like. Because at this point, I don't know. I can't really predict who's going to be called up next.
Right.
So I'm going to do Soderstrom and Rokiel. Guys that, you know, actually perfect example of what I was talking about. So Rokiel is just out of his mind in AAA right now. 22-year-old switch hitter, striking out 13% of the time, .338, 10 stolen bases, one homer. But, you know, it's not really his game. I think he has more power than that, too, by the way. But he's an infielder, and there are loads of infielders. They need to figure out which one of those infielders is going to play the outfield. Rokiel did get a call up already in the doubleheader, but didn't get in a bat. So I feel like, you know, Tyler Freeman got the call. Friend of the podcast, by the way. But Freeman can't play the outfield, I don't think. He's got, again, his arm's just not strong enough. He's got to play second base, but then Jimenez is at second base. You can't really move Rosario out. Gabriel Arias is in right now after the Oscar Gonzalez. Will Brennan is not very good this year.
No.
You have, you know, Josh Naylor at first. Could be an outfielder. I don't know. I don't know where you put him, but he's out of his mind right now, so he's ready. And then the opposite is Soderstrom, who has all the opportunities in the world, but is sort of not performing how you'd want him to at AAA right now. He does have 6 home runs, but .242 with 25% strikeout rate, 5% walk rate. You know, catching is out for him, which Langelier's there, but he can get into the lineup in an assortment of other ways. So I think that he's going to get called up at some point. Just needs to turn it on. And I'm going to really enjoy that pick. So That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have to pick two pitchers. So I only have two more picks and they have to be pitchers. You get to pick two more and then one more after that as well. So go for it.
All right. Okay, now I'm going with guys who I love and I would just love to see in at the best level. So first and foremost, going back to those Mets, those lowly Mets, go and take Mark Vientos, slugger, like you would not believe what a beast. 7 home runs in the last 10 days, folks. 7. 362 average. He's actually got a pretty good K to walk ratio, 17.5% strikeout to 12.3 walk percentage. 653 slugging, 412 on base. That's a 1065 OPS for those doing the math at home. 62 total bases in 10 days. Ay, chihuahua. I don't know. I just love this kid. I mean, he gets up into the box. He's got like that Tyler O'Neill-esque body. You know, he's just swinging for everything. And he's fun. So I can't imagine that he stays down for much longer. He's 23. He's killing AAA. He's killed all the other levels. So, I mean, it's only a matter of time. And I think this is a guy you can move to the outfield eventually. So Vientos and somebody who I don't know when he's going to get called up, but I love this kid. I always have and I always will. Justin Foscue, second baseman for the Texas Rangers organization. he's also a fun one because at second base, he gives you a lot of power. I don't really know. Hold on a second. I don't know why I don't have his numbers in here right now, but give me 1 second and I will find those in no time. Oh. Anyway, he's doing well enough to be on this list. So Lord knows he's got to be doing pretty well. Hold on 1 second.
I mean, I can do it if you want me to.
You don't mind?
Yeah, he's 282, 4 home runs, 5 stolen bases, 403 on base percentage with only 14 strikeouts to 21
walks. Nice. Nice. Okay, beautiful. Well, given what he's done in his entire body of work and given what he's done thus far this year, I think that's what they wanted to see from Foscue, a little more patience at the plate, and he's done that in spades, it sounds like. So he could be getting a call soon, or he could be waiting a long time, but right now we're getting to the bottom of our list, so I'm just sticking with guys who I love, and I love Justin Foscue, plain and simple. So who was that? That was Vientos and Foscue.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated with what the Mets are going to do. I'm looking at their depth chart right now. So obviously they can't catch either Mauricio or Vientos. Alonso's at first. McNeil and Beatty and Lindor in the infield. Mark Canna, Nimmo and Marte are in the outfield. I don't know which one of those you could remove. You can't, I don't think. And then a DH, Vogelbach, and Tommy Pham with a nice lefty-righty combo there with Eduardo Escobar just chilling. So where the hell are these guys going to play? Like, I don't know at all. Who do you remove from this lineup
for the Mets? How's Cannon doing? Is he doing all right?
I mean, all of these guys, I feel like they're invested in.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. Yeah, so he has... He's not, I mean, they're not super invested. He had a 2-year, $26 million contract.
That would be my first guess.
And he is 213 with, but then Pham, 34 years old. Yeah, so I guess they got to play the outfield. I don't know. I think Mauricio is a better bet to play the outfield than Vientos, but it's going to be, that's the hardest part with those two. They're so good, but there's just no room. And this is what happens when you have a roster that's, you know, one of the most expensive in the league. You can't just put them on the bench. And even when they did with like Eduardo Escobar, that was still kind of surprising. I mean, he forced their hand for sure, but
yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you piece together a team with a bunch of free agents also, you know.
Yeah. Eduardo Escobar had 35 home runs and 118 RBIs in 2019.
Just and now he's riding the pine for the Mets.
Yeah. All right. So back to our draft here. Basically, I have my pick of the pitchers. So I'm picking the guys that I think are, well, Liberatore is going to be up, I think, really, really quickly. So I'll pick him. And then I think DL Hall, maybe not as quickly, but, you know, getting stretched out as a starter for Baltimore, again, with their rotation. Kyle Gibson's probably there. Bradish is probably there. Grayson's there. But then Dean Kramer and Tyler Wells. I know we talked about Drew Rom for a little bit last week, but DL still being groomed to be that starter. The velocity's down a little bit, but the strikeouts are still what they've always been. So fantasy wise, still excited about DL Hall. He did get a call up a week ago or so and had a nice little 7 strikeout performance in relief. So still can do it. Just taking like Grayson taking forever.
Yeah.
All right, you have one more pick left.
All right, bonus. Okay, so I'm taking Michael Bush with my very last pick. This is why. So the Dodgers were in San Diego not long ago, and they played very well toward the end of – it was just a 3-game series. They lost the first game. That was when they showed the Clayton Kershaw – Jordan crying meme up on the big Jumbotron after they won. And then they lost the next two by our Dodgers. So the third and most important of those games went down to the wire. Mookie was down to, I think he was 3-1 with 2 outs against Josh Hader, took Hader's solo shot, brought it into extras, and then the next inning, what happened? Oh, the next inning, Michael Bush hit in the go-ahead run. He drove in Freddie Freeman, who was the runner at second, in the top of the 10th, and I mean, this was a big time clutch base hit, and it wasn't a bloop. I mean, it was a shot. It was a gapper slash kind of top spun. I don't think he got a double out of it. Maybe he did, because Freeman went all the way home, but it doesn't matter. He hit the ball really well, really hard, struck it. It was like 104 miles an hour in a huge moment, arguably the biggest moment of the season for the Dodgers. And he was pinch hit for earlier in that game, and he struck out in a moment that was just as big. And he struck out, went back to the dugout seemingly with his tail between his legs, but didn't matter, because in the end he was the hero. Now, a lot of people don't know about that, because the next hitter up, or two hitters later, James Outman went yard and hit in I think it was a 2-run shot, and we ended up winning like 5-2. But it was Bush, not James Outman, who had the go-ahead. And if we were at home, it would have been a walk-off, and obviously he would have been much more celebrated. It's not lost on the Dodgers, I know that. It may have been lost on other people, but it wasn't lost on me, because that was a giant at-bat for the Dodgers, and a giant series, even though it's May. It was the first series against those damn Padres, but that's how crazy that rivalry has been. But what he showed me, what Michael Bush showed me, is that he is not afraid of the spotlight. And man, oh man, he stroked that single. I mean, it was right off his bat. You knew Freddie was going to score. It was beautiful. So he'll be back up soon. Probably sooner than later, and I'm very excited to see what he can do once he gets a longer cup of coffee.
Still pains me that you're talking about Freddie Freeman as a Dodger.
Yeah, I bet. Still pains me that you guys are the defending world champions. So there's that.
Yeah, I like Michael Bush a lot. So interesting. We'll go ahead and see who wins this. And then the loser has to run around the block naked. How about that?
Yeah. To the quad.
Now, we should talk about some of these guys that we did not pick. Anybody's guess is as good as ours when it comes to when these guys are going to be up. But, you know, if you're looking at most of these guys, I would imagine in dynasty leagues are probably taken. There's a few here that you might be able to snatch. But in terms of dynasty leagues or shallow dynasty leagues and redraft leagues, these are guys that you probably should pay attention to. We talked about the Twins and Royce Lewis, but Edward Julian got the call up before, you know, Royce Lewis would be an option and performed admirably. We saw him in the WBC. Lot to like with him. OBP league, like if you were going to somehow stress this draft to be OBP centered, I would probably take Julian over some of the other guys, because when he comes up, he's going to get on base.
Mm-hmm.
Just again, don't know where he's going to play. We mentioned about post hype Michael Toglia for the Rockies. Again, if you're a Rockies prospect, like you're probably coming up sometime this year. Brenton Doyle is a good example. Doyle had a much better AAA slash line than Toglia is, but Toglia has the power, 30 home runs last year in the minor leagues, but 259, 47 strikeouts, but still Rockies players in fantasy are always appealing. We had Quinn Priester on the list with the ascension that Mitch Keller has turned on something. So maybe, I don't know if that's him or if that's something the Pirates are doing. If it's something the Pirates are doing, it's interesting because this is a guy that reminds me a lot of Mitch Keller in terms of like great stuff, but just never put it together. And then all of a sudden, maybe it clicks for him. 5.4 ERA in AAA right now, and it's the Pirates. But your Pirates looked pretty good there for a second with your prediction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they heard me.
Downhill a little bit since then in the O'Neill Cruz.
O'Neill Cruz, you know, that just killed it right then and there. But you know, what are you going to do?
We talked about how the Guardians have so many infielding prospects, but don't forget George Valera is an actual outfielder for them and just got reinstated from the IL. I've liked him for a long time, but I'm just so sick of waiting for him now. But
yeah,
have to remind you, still only 22 years old, has a couple hits in his return back, a lot of power. So I imagine he gets called up at some point this year, probably within a month or so. And you could get him for cheap in a lot of leagues, I'd imagine. Kyle Harrison, a guy that a lot of people wrote off like instantly this year, as soon as he started to struggle, but 3.47 ERA. Thanks to some really good starts with a lot of Ks in his last four or five outings. Like he's striking out a ton, 42 strikeouts in 23 innings. Now, I didn't pick Harrison because the Giants have a lot of pitching depth, it seems, at the major league level. There's no need to rush a 20. Don't forget, he's 21 in AAA. Like there's still a lot.
That's
to like.
That's crazy. I love Kyle Harrison.
Yeah, I know you like him a lot. Don't forget. Now, when the Pirates were going good, it was easy to see Andy Rodriguez being called up to be that last piece, as you predicted a few weeks ago on this very podcast. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how quickly they'll rush him up. 250 with three home runs. Good walk to strikeout ratio. Just hasn't been much, though, in terms of like impact at bats in AAA so far. We'll see what happens with him. His year last year was so darn good that you can't give up on him. And then these other names are ones that I think you might be able to pick up for free in dynasty leagues right now. One is Dominic Canzoni for the Diamondbacks. Now, the problem with him, by the way, let me mention who he is, first of all. So he is an outfielder from 2019, an eighth round pick, and actually has some really good power hit combo with a little bit of running, not a lot, but enough to get you a little bit excited, maybe 5 to 10 stolen bases. 296, 9 home runs, and 16 walks to 19 strikeouts in Double-A. But we talked about how the Mets might turn those infielders to outfielders. Unfortunately, you can't really turn outfielders into infielders, which would be nice because the Diamondbacks are pretty stocked in the outfield. They have Gurriel and Carroll that are certainly going to take some spots. And then you have Alec Thomas, Dominic Fletcher, also getting the call lately. We didn't actually mention Dominic Fletcher in our news and notes, but you know, he's off to a fantastic start. Who knows how long that'll last, but with Alec Thomas there as well, there is not a lot of outfielder spots, especially when you have DH being sort of taken by Longoria and Pavin Smith. And you know, I wish they could just switch the infield, but I don't think that's going to happen. But still an interesting name. If one of these guys goes down, he's the next guy up for sure. And I think he'll perform if he gets called up. Kind of a lesser known guy. Another guy you could maybe get for free, I don't know, depends on the league, but David Hamilton for the Red Sox. 7 home runs, 21 stolen bases, 283 as a 25-year-old. In AAA last year, 12 home runs, 71 stolen bases last year. Dude. So he definitely probably would get picked, like if this was a rotisserie type of league where stolen bases mattered, but in WAR, like I don't know how much WAR he'd actually put up. But you know, Estery Ruiz, we loved Corbin Carroll. Like guaranteed, if this guy comes up, you're going to get stolen bases. And the Red Sox certainly have places to put him if they wanted. Former Milwaukee Brewer, so I know all about him from Gasper's days. yeah, so stolen bases, if you need stolen bases. And then two other guys here, Nolan Jones for the Rockies, another post-hype type of guy. He was a top 40 guy for a lot of people.
Yeah,
he was. Back in the day when he was with Cleveland. 11 home runs, 344 average, 3 stolen bases even for good luck. The Rockies, certainly, like I said, with Toglia, they have a lot of openings. If you can force your way in there, Brenton Doyle, another good example. So, you know, if I'm the Rockies, I want to get him in to show how smart I am for like trading for him on the cheap. So that's interesting. And then actually I mentioned one more, but Oslavis Basabe, we've talked about him a little bit on this podcast before. He's having a really good year. You know, my prediction of him coming up and being a September darling still could hold true, actually. I think so.
Absolutely.
The Rays are going to be there. My World Series pick's pretty good, huh? The Rays, I like that. They've been performing. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Connor Norby, we should mention as well. He's definitely not available in Dynasty Leagues, but he is a guy that maybe Westberg gets called up and Kowser gets called up and then Norby doesn't. And that person who owns him is really dumb and just says, I'm over it. And then you can go get him. But yeah, I don't think he's hitting the worst out of those high-end Orioles prospects, which is not to say he's performing badly, but 279 with 3 home runs, 2 stolen bases. The power he showed last year is probably a facade when he was close to 30 home runs. He's probably more of a 15, you know, Pedroia type of guy, but still a middle infielder on that. You want that Orioles roster wherever you can get it.
Yep.
Doesn't matter who it is. So, all right. Yeah. So we went over a bunch of names. For sure. We'll keep track of this and we'll update it at the end of the year to see how we did. I think these names for sure are the ones that you want to highlight. Just to go over these names again. Nate, your team is Ellie De La Cruz, Taj Bradley, Gavin Williams, Jordan Westberg, Kyle Manzardo, Andres Chaparro, Mark Vientos, Justin Foscue, and Michael Bush. These are guys that you're confident are going to be up quickly and or when they do get called up, perform very, very well. My team, if you're keeping track, Colton Cowser, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Justin Henry Molloy, a lot of double names there like that. Royce Lewis, Mauricio, Tyler Soderstrom, Brian Rocchio, Matthew Liberatore, and DL Hall. So let's get ahead of the hype train for some of these prospects, and hopefully you can get them either on the cheap or pick them up in redraft leagues, whatever floats your boat. Hopefully we helped you out today. So, Nate, let's go call our mothers one last time. Get out of here.
Let's do it.
Be nice to your mothers. Call them again the next day. Like, okay, everybody calls them on Mother's Day. Call them again on Monday. Just say, hey, how's it going? You know,
yeah.
Calling because it's, you know, I love you. So,
and happy Mother's Day. You gave birth to me. So, yeah. You know, it's always worth the call.
Yeah. And yeah, I saw what it takes to give birth. It's
something else, right?
Nate, you couldn't do it.
There's no doubt in my mind.
No. I couldn't do it. I don't know how they do it. Like, if it was just up to men to repopulate the earth, like, for whatever, God said, you have to repopulate the earth. You can give birth now. I think we would just all say no. And then just,
let's go have a beer instead.
weird twist in the podcast, but that'll do it for us here today. Futures Focus. Thanks for listening again. Nate Eckert, myself, Alex Sanchez here with you. We'll be back with you next week. See you later.